Good morning. If you are one of our guests this morning, thank you for coming and joining us today. This is a special day. We like to have these a couple times a year. I know many of you have a church home somewhere that you would normally be, and so thank you for making that time to come and be with us in a special way this day. For any of you who don't have a church home, we would love for you to consider coming back. And sometimes people ask me, you know, why as Christians, why do you guys gather every week? And I would reply, think of it this way: what a ball team looks like without practice, what an army looks like without training, what a support group is without meetings, that's what Christians are without this. And that's why we come. And that's why we need this. So we want you to come and join us more anytime you can. Have you ever struggled and you prayed and you asked for God to remove your struggle and God didn't? And you asked for God to relieve your struggle and God didn't? And you asked for God's help and help didn't come right away and you wondered, what's going on? Why is God not helping me? Why is God not rescuing me? Have you ever wondered if maybe God wants me to struggle? Maybe God wants me to struggle. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17, we read about one of the greatest stories ever written. And this is a true story, one of the greatest events that have ever happened to this day, now in probably 3,000 years later, people still make the statement, a David and Goliath, contest. And they may not even know the story of David and Goliath, but they know what that means. This is a good one. And in this story of David and Goliath, it reads in 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, it starts out, the Philistines have gathered for battle against the Israelites. And you have the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on another side, and this valley that's between them. And verse 4 says, there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And the word champion in Scripture, the literal meaning of this word is the man of the interspaces. And it was common for armies to gather like this, and before they would do battle, to have some one-on-one contests. And that's kind of what this is. And so a champion in that day and time, that meant our guy that would go fight your guy. And the Philistines had one of these. And the Israelites did too. They just didn't know it yet. Right? So Goliath, we read about him in verse 5. He had a helmet of bronze. He had a coat of scale armor. His armor, just his coat, not all of his armor, but just his coat would have weighed over 125 pounds. He had a sword that was strapped on his back. He had a spear that the tip of the spear would have weighed over 15 pounds. This is a 20-pound dumbbell. Just the tip of Goliath's spear weighed about what this weighs. Goliath was a man, right? He was a chance. That's a champion. And so the Philistines, they send out Goliath. He was a giant. And Goliath looked invincible. And I would bet Goliath felt invincible. The Israelites sure thought he was invincible. Have you ever had a trial like that? A struggle? Maybe it's marriage problems. Maybe it's health problems. Maybe mental health problems. Maybe financial struggles. Have you ever had a trial where you looked at it and you said, I don't know how this is going to be defeated? This one is too big. I don't see a way. I cannot imagine a way. And that's what Goliath was like. And Goliath came out. What was different about this, they were not going to just have a small battle and then the big battle. Goliath says, listen, whoever wins this battle, this one-on-one, the losing army will surrender and be servants of the other army. He says, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. And when Saul, King Saul, remember him? He's who the Israelites wanted a king. They didn't want God to be their king. They wanted a human king to lead them into battle. Well, here's what that looks like. And here's Saul. He's a head taller than the other Israelites. He's supposed to be their king, the one who would lead them into battle. But verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Holman translation says they lost their courage and they were terrified. You ever do that? You ever look at a struggle or a trial and you lose your courage? You're like, I don't know. I'm worried. I don't know what we're going to do. And then your mind starts to run. Does your mind ever jump to conclusions? You know what that means? That means here's where we really are, but my mind's going to take a leap where I think this thing's going to go. And your mind starts doing that, and it will use words like inevitable. Well, it's inevitable that this is going to happen now. And the word inevitable means certain to happen, unavoidable. So yesterday, make that Friday, I go over to a dermatologist appointment. About 12 years ago, I had a spot on my shoulder, skin cancer removed. And since that time, I've been putting off a dermatologist appointment follow-up, but there have been a few spots on my face that have kind of concerned me, and I've still been putting it off. But so I'm thinking I need to go see a dermatologist about skin cancer. My dad has it, my brother has it, everybody in my family. I get all these good genes, and I'm on my way to see a dermatologist. And I wasn't real worried, but then my mind starts going. You know, I've had skin cancer before. My dad's had a bunch of it. My brother's had a bunch of it. This is probably going to be it, and it's probably going to be the bad kind. I've got one here. She's going to have to cut that out. What's that eye going to look like? Right? I've got one here on my nose. Take that out. Did you know if you can't smell, you can't taste? There goes one of my loves of life, eating. I've got one here. Surely that's going to take out the eyesight of this eye. So do I wear a patch or do I not wear a patch? And there's no way Stephanie's going to stay with me after all that. I've already lost my hair. I'm not getting any taller. So now, who's going to get the kids? I'll probably get stuck with the kids on top of all that. Do you ever do that? You ever jump to conclusions? And your mind says, well, obviously this is going to happen. And obviously that was that. And here we are, and you wind up in a place. And don't you think the Israelites, when they look at Goliath, they're thinking, well, obviously, we're going to be servants of those Jehus for the rest of our life. That's what's about to happen. And they're afraid. And there's no record that I can find that King Saul or the Israelites consulted God in this time, at this battle. I find no record of them saying, God, what shall we do? God, will you deliver us? God, will you help us? And I wonder, it makes no sense why they would not turn to God for direction. And then I remember, well, what about us? How often do we finally turn to God for help long after we've been struggling? Why does it take us so long? Well, anyway, meanwhile, there's a man named Jesse, and he has some sons in the army, in the Israelite camp, and he sends his youngest son, David, who's not a soldier yet. David takes care of the sheep, but he sends David to take some supplies and to go check on his brothers. And David does. And the moment David comes to the camp in verse... hold on, back up. I want to hit this real quick. Verse 16 tells us something that's happening before David comes. This is going on day after day. In fact, this happens 40 straight days where Goliath comes out and he says, I defy the armies of Israel. I challenge you. He does that every day, twice a day. He comes out, he challenges them to supply a champion, and they don't. So as this is going on, David shows up. And as David shows up, the strangest thing happens. The Israelites, they're going out for their daily, what seems like their daily time of war cry. They run up to the battle lines, and they shout a war cry. This is puzzling to me. Goliath comes out, does his thing, they run. When it's Israelites' time, they come, shout a war cry. Nothing happens. And it reminds me, this war cry that they shout how brave we are from a distance. As an army, how confident we are. But what about as an individual? And the Israelites, they're pretty brave here. Sometimes we find ourselves in this church building. Maybe I'm not in the middle of a trial, and God is good, and God is faithful, and God will do this, and God will do that. That's how we feel. We talk about God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. From a distance, we're good. How are we in a trial? How are we in when crisis hits? Is God still good then? Is God still faithful then? Where's our confidence then? And that's the Israelites here. They're good. They're good from a distance. And they're good as an army. But there's not a single one of them that has the faith in God to step out there and be a champion. We read on and we see that David comes and he hears this. Goliath makes that statement again. He says, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. I've wondered why the Israelites don't just say, no thank you, Goliath, we're going to fight as a group. Why didn't they just go fight as an army? They went there to fight, didn't they? They lined up, they got the battle cry down. I mean, everybody's armed and dangerous and they ought to be ready for battle. Why didn't they not just go fight? And I really don't know. I wondered though, you know, the word defy, by the way, is, I mean, it's a challenge. So Goliath dared them. And you know that men are just grown boys. And you know boys, when the boy is challenged to do something, they're pretty well tempted to do it. But if they are dared to do it, well, it's on now. I have to do it. I was dared. They dared me, Mom. I had to do it. Now, I wonder sometimes if the Israelites have been dared, but they cannot figure out how to meet this challenge. So all the men, verse 24, now look at this, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. How do you go from verse 20, shouting the war cry, to verse 24, running and hiding? How quickly we go from God is good to where is God? God's good when there's no trial. When the trial comes, where's God? So verse 26, David speaks up. And David asks a question. He said, what will be done for this man who kills the Philistine? Look at how David talks about this. He doesn't say the man who goes and fights the Philistine. The man who kills him, what will be done for him who takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? While Israelites are running away, David's saying, where y'all going? What's the problem here? Why are y'all running away? Who's this guy? What's the problem? I love David's confidence. Don't you want that kind of faith? That when a giant comes into your life, you turn to your friend, your neighbor, your family member, and you say, What's the problem here? And we say, well, this is what the problem. What are we going to do? I don't know, but God does. What's the problem? That's what David said. Well, David gets taken to King Saul. He gets brought to King Saul. Hey, we got somebody who will go. You know, he's not a soldier. He's not big. We don't know how old David was, but he was not a soldier. And David tells Saul he's ready to go. And Saul's first answer to him, and I argue that this is from the devil, Saul's statement was, David, you're not able. Doesn't that sound like the devil? Isn't that what the devil says? You're not able. You're too young. You're too old. You don't know enough. You know too much. You're not able. But David has this response, verse 34. He says to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. I have to tell you, if I were in that circumstance and a lion comes and snatches up one of my baby lambs, see you later. I mean, if he's leaving, just take one. I got a bunch of others. He just got one. He didn't get me. But David would go chase that lion and get the lamb back. And David says, if he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. How would you describe David's confidence level? By the way, does David know he's going to kill Goliath? Not unless he knows the future. He didn't know he's going to kill him. Any more than you and I know how we're going to make it through some trial. But David knew that God was good. And he had faith that God would deliver him. And that God would allow him to kill Goliath. He had great faith. His faith, though, it was not in himself. It was not, David wasn't confident because he had done it before. He was confident. Look at this next statement. He said, "The Lord delivered me." The Lord who delivered me. That's where David's confidence was. Now let me ask you this question. Why did God not protect David from the bear and the lion ever finding the flock? Incidentally, that's our prayer. That's how we pray. Don't we? God, protect me from the trial. Why did God not keep the lion from finding David's flock? He could have, right? If God had kept the lion and the bear from finding David's flock, he would never have been able to show David how he can deliver. Amen. God can't show us how able he is if we don't have a trial. And incidentally, when we pray for our children, we pray God protect them. We pray God keep them from trials. Now, we don't quite word it that way, but that's what we're praying. God, keep my children from trials, from struggles, from anything painful, don't we? Am I the only one that's prayed that before? Protect them from pain. That's what we do as parents. Here's the problem. They will never learn to trust God that way. They will never have great faith that way. Ever. And so our prayers need to change. Don't they? We need to pray prayers that say, "God, give my children struggles so they can practice trusting you." May they grow in their faith like David did. So David, verse 45, he says, when he goes to Goliath to encounter Goliath, I love this statement of David's. In the ESV, it says, "You come to me with sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And the NIV, I like even better. "I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Your sword and your javelin and your armor and everything you got is no match for my God. I love that confidence. Do you want to have that kind of courage? I have a demonstration. I'm going to try to demonstrate this this morning. Brian, if I could get you to come up and participate with me. So Brian is playing the role of God in this demonstration. And this weight represents your burden, your struggle, your trial, whatever that might be. And most of us, and I'm this way, when I have a trial, I come to God and I say, "God, will you take this? This is heavy." And God says, "No." And then right? We don't know what to do. We don't know why. Why won't God take? This is heavy. Can God take it? Yes, he can. Absolutely. But he won't. So then we go back and we say, "God, will you make me stronger so this is not so heavy?" And God says he will. He wants me to curl it. And so in this demonstration, God wants me to take this trial and exercise. This is my trust muscle. Have you ever trusted God? You're like, "God, I pray, I give this to you, I trust you, you're so good." And then you get to look and then it's heavy. You trusted him one time. I mean, one moment. And I come back to God and I say, "God, make me stronger." He wants me to curl it more. Curl it more. Have you ever, we'll pause for a second. I think it's heavy. I'll be back with you, God. Have you ever done something that was awkward, but you wanted to learn how to do it? When I first started playing golf, I would swing a golf club and it was awkward, and I'd get to where I could hit the ball, but sometimes, and it wouldn't go anywhere near where I wanted it to. But I kept at it to where it became very comfortable, to where I could hit it, and I could almost always hit it, and a lot of times it'd go where I wanted to. You ever done that with something? At first it was awkward, but you wanted to learn how to do it, and you kept doing it. Here's our problem. We go to God. God says, trust me. We trust him one time, and then we don't understand why this is still heavy. We have to trust God, and it's awkward, and trust God, and it didn't work, and trust God, and now I'm worried again, and trust God, and over and over and over and over and over until your trust muscle is strong. Okay? So sometimes we will go to God with a trial and say, God, if you would just give me greater faith, stronger faith, so I know that this thing's going to work out and I can have some peace. If I had stronger faith, would you give me stronger faith? I want God to take it from me, right? I want God to help me. I want to set it down, and God, somehow, some way, God does deliver me from the struggle. And then we praise God, right? When the struggle's over, by the way, and then God gives me another struggle. Why is it when you're through with one trial, God doesn't give you no trial? Why is it that God does not give you any more trials? No more trials the rest of your life. And you get rid of that trial again, and God helps you through that one, and you say, man, that God is good all the time, and then you get another struggle. Why do we keep getting trials? All right, thank you, Brian. Why? Because in a trial, that's the only time you can exercise your trust muscle. That's the only time you can practice trusting. You will never get strong trusting God if you don't exercise when you're in a trial. The problem is, a lot of us, we're in a trial, and we look at this, and it's heavy, and it's heavy, and it's heavy, and then, okay, next, you know, I don't have a trial, then I do have a trial, and I don't have a trial, but I'm never trusting. And so I remind you of this. Just because a person has been through a lot of problems doesn't mean they trust God. You don't learn to trust God just because you've been through struggles. You learn to trust God if you practice trusting him. Does that make sense? Over and over and over again. I want to have the faith that David had. I look around this room. I want to have the faith that the Sisms have. They've had to practice trusting God. I want to have the faith that Phyllis Dotson has. You should talk to Phyllis sometime. Ask her about the trials that she went through with her late husband year after year after year. And his health. I want to have the faith that Dale Griffin has. Sometimes when you see a giant in faith, it's because A, they had trials, and B, they learn to trust God. And then I love this scripture. We'll end with this one. I've read this many times, and so have you. James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. This is from the New Living, and I like how it reads. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity." An opportunity. NIV, I think, says, "Consider it all joy." And that's always been puzzling for us Christians. When something painful comes, you're supposed to be happy. That makes no sense. But I think this is a better translation of meaning here. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Has a chance to grow. You can grow in trials. To the point that you have the faith of David that says, whatever giant stands out there, I don't care how big he is. My God's bigger. I come in the name of the Lord Almighty. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to work out. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I want to leave you with a song. There's a song that it's about trust, and it's written to God, and it reads like this. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So let all things be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. Isn't that good? I want to have that. I encourage you this morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. It's about God and how great God is. And He is. But He's good when we're up, and He's good when we're down. You may be in a trial this morning. We would love to pray with you about that. You may be here this morning. There may be one that your life, you're not walking with God. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ, never had your sins washed away in baptism. If we could help you with something, please come while we stand and sing.
A splendor of